Welcome to the Westview Church Podcast. Our vision at Westview is creating space for self and community to find rest in Christ. And we're thankful that today you've created space in your day to study God's Word together with us. If you'd like more information about Westview Church, find us on the web at www.westview.org. Friends, it is my joy this morning to be able to share God's word together with you. So whether you are at home or here in the worship center, I'm going to invite you right now to grab your Bibles with me. If you have the physical book of the Bible, you're going to turn with me to the New Testament, to the book of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and then John. If you have the app on your phone and that's where you're at, just scroll down about two-thirds of the way through and find the book of John. We are going to be in two different spots this morning, looking at two passages together. The first spot is John chapter 14, starting in verse 15. John chapter 14, starting in verse 15. And then if you have the book of the Bible, you can just mark your spot there. Maybe you have to turn a page or two to John chapter 16, and we're going to start in verse 5. So John 16, starting in verse 5. We're going to look at both of these passages together this morning. We are here in the second Sunday of Lent, and just as a reminder, last week we began this sermon series where we are in this season of Lent, we are meeting with Jesus here in what we are calling the upper room. This is hours before Jesus' betrayal, his crucifixion, his death. And Jesus is here in the upper room with his disciples, and it's here in the upper room where Jesus performs perhaps the most profound example of servanthood. And it's here in the upper room where Jesus will give the most important instruction to us as Christ followers of how we are to live in relationship with one another. Jesus does all of this here in the upper room, and what else he does is he speaks a lot. Jesus has a lot to say to his disciples before he goes away, sort of his last words of instructions, as if the last, 3 years of ministry with him has not been enough. He's got all of this to say to his disciples as they're going to continue on the work that he has begun. And I am so grateful that we have these words that Jesus shares in the upper room. John 13 through 17 records what Jesus does and says here. And I'm grateful that just like those disciples in the upper room with Jesus, I'm grateful that we have these words so that we too can be challenged, we too can be encouraged, we too can be comforted by the lessons of Jesus from the upper room. And this morning we're going to look at two passages together as we again consider what Jesus is teaching here. And before we do, would you please join me in prayer? God, how thankful we are for an opportunity to read your word, to study your word, to think well about your word, and to allow the power of the Holy Spirit to use the word to continue to challenge us and encourage us and mold us and shape us. Lord, we know that these are precious and holy moments. So Spirit, be at work in what we say and in how we hear and how these words will continue to mold us into the days ahead. We pray all this in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. If you are online this morning, all you need to do is continue to watch the screen in front of you. For those of us who are here in the worship center, I'm going to invite you to check out the screen behind me as Phyllis is going to read our scripture passage for us today.
John chapter 14. Verses 15 through 31. If you love me, you will obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus replied, If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. You heard me say, I am going away, and I am coming back to you. If you loved me, you would be glad that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. I will not speak with you much longer, for the prince of this world is coming. He has no hold on me, but the world must learn that I love the Father and that I do exactly what my Father has commanded me. Come now, let us leave. John 16:5-16. Now I am going to him who sent me, yet none of you asks me, Where are you going? Because I have said these things, you are filled with grief. But I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. In regard to righteousness, because I am going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. In a little while you will see me no more, and then, after a little while, you will see me.
Thank you, Phyllis, for reading our scripture passage for us this morning. Appreciate that. So I just want to ask a question, kind of a silly question maybe, but just want to ask this question where I want to ask, how's your memory? I think that the things that we remember and how we remember them and why we remember them is so fascinating. Do we remember things like important historical dates? So help me out. Do you remember the year that Columbus sailed the ocean blue? Anybody remember that? Yeah, 1492, right? 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue. Great little memory. Yes, yeah, good. Good. How about, does anybody remember the Emancipation Proclamation? Does anybody remember what year that happened? 1863. Yes, January 1, 1863. Very good. Or do you remember when NASA put a person, not on Mars, is anybody watching the Mars stuff? Pretty cool stuff, right? But NASA put a man on the moon. Do you remember what year that was? Is it 19, Mark, you're nodding, 1969. Yes, it was. Very good. Yeah, we remember some of those things. But let me ask you, do you remember some more personal things? Do you remember when your anniversary is? Do you remember how many years you've been married? Do you remember, yeah, some of you are looking at each other right now like, Do you remember your significant other's birthday? Hopefully each year you do, yes. Another thing that's fascinating about memory is we remember where we were when certain things happened. I would imagine there are some of us who remember where we were when we heard that JFK was shot. Or we remember where we were when we watched the Space Shuttle Challenger explode. Or we remember where we were when we either heard or saw the Twin Towers attacked on 9/11. Fascinating how we remember some of those things. And then yet, I can't remember what I had for breakfast yesterday. Can you? Or how quickly can we recall? What did I wear to school on Friday? Do you remember? I mean, memory is such a fascinating thing. And I would imagine that maybe some of us say, you know what, I do have a good memory. But I have met more and more and more people that say, I have such a terrible memory. I can't remember faces. I can't remember names. I can't remember dates and all those sorts of things. And if you feel that way, let me tell you this morning, you are in good company. I am a terribly forgetful person. And that maybe comes as a surprise to you because you know that I can memorize things. And I tell you what, memorization, oh, that helped me out so much in school. Oh, I love that I could memorize things for a test. I think I can remember it now? Probably not. And you know that scripture memorization is a passion of mine. And so it might surprise you, but I am actually a very forgetful person. Heather can attest. How many times she asks me, hey, when you're done, can you start the dishwasher? And then I forget. Or can you, when you run upstairs, can you switch the laundry over? Or I forget. Or even yesterday, she asked me, can you stir the chicken in the crock pot? Guess what? I forgot all day long. Staff can testify how many times I've sat in their office or stood at their desk and said, there's something else that I need to talk to you about, but I just can't remember it right now. Staff, do you amen to that? Yes? Yes. Memory is such a fascinating thing. The things that we remember, the things that we do not remember. Now, to circumvent this lack of memory that I have, is I've started to use some life hacks. Can I share one with you this morning? So after forgetting my lunch in the home fridge for like the umpteenth thousandth time, I'd get to work and be like, oh, my lunch is in the fridge. Here's what I started to do. I started to make my lunch, and I put it in the bag, and I put it in the fridge, and then I take my office keys, and I put it in the fridge as well. So then later in the morning, when I'm trying to rush out the door, I'm like, where are my keys? Oh, yeah, my keys are in the fridge. Oh, there's my lunch. All right, now I'm good to go. You know, it's not tying a string to your finger, but it works for me. Memory and what we remember is such a fascinating and important thing. One of the things we heard Phyllis read about a couple of times in this passage is that Jesus tells his disciples in the upper room that he's leaving soon. He's not going to be physically present with them anymore. And there's a very practical concern about this, because have you heard this before? Out of sight, out of mind. Right? When someone or something is not physically present with us anymore, the memory starts to fade. The clear picture about who this person is or what this person is about or what this is about, it starts to wane a little bit. We don't remember as well. But Jesus has a solution. He's leaving, but he's going to be sending someone who will help those disciples remember. The Holy Spirit. The two passages that Phyllis read for us are chock full with the work and the role of the Holy Spirit. If we wanted to do a whole sermon series on the work and the person and the role of the Holy Spirit, we could start in these two passages and go on for weeks. But in our context this morning, I want to identify one important piece that Jesus promises, this is what the Holy Spirit will do. So if you have your Bibles open yet, I trust, turn with me to chapter 14, verse 26. This is going to be our jumping off point this morning. Chapter 14, verse 26. Jesus says this to those disciples. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things, and here it is what I want you to notice, and remind you of everything I have said to you. The Holy Spirit will remind you of everything. Not just a little, not just a lot, Not much, not most, but everything. Jesus says the Holy Spirit is going to come, and the Holy Spirit will remind those disciples, and we can imagine as well, and remind us as well of everything Jesus has said. Everything that Jesus has laid out over the last 3 years of ministry to those disciples, every lesson, every instruction, every command, every teaching, everything that we need to know in order to be a follower of Jesus Christ. With all the important things that these two passages tell us about the Holy Spirit, perhaps nothing is more going to be more important than this. That the Holy Spirit will help us remember. Friends, it is so important to remember. Particularly to remember Jesus. Who he is. What he said. What he did. Because when we remember Jesus, we remember who we are. This past summer, our family was on a vacation, and after spending the whole day hiking the trails, we were tired and ready to have sort of what we call a family movie night. And so we sat down on the couches and turned on a movie, and we watched the movie Coco. Have you seen the movie Coco? We're going to put a picture of it on the screen. You should see that at home as well. The movie Coco. If you haven't seen this movie, I definitely recommend it to you. You know, one of the main themes in this movie is the value of remembering family, of remembering who you are. See, friends, it is so important to remember because when we remember Jesus, we remember that in Jesus, in him, we already belong. We belong to him. We belong body and soul in life and in death to our faithful Savior Jesus. We belong to our God. We remember who we are. And with that hope and with that certainty, with that promise, with that identity that defines who we are and that can calm us. Because when we remember who Jesus is and thus remember who we are, that alleviates all the anxiety to prove ourselves. It alleviates all the pressure to perform. It alleviates the worry of not measuring up. When we remember who Jesus is and remember who we are, it allows us, as our vision statement said that Pastor Jake shared earlier this morning, it reminds us and it allows us to rest in Christ. When we remember Jesus, we remember who we are and whose we are, and we can be at rest. This is one of the reasons why I love the sacrament of baptism. Every year I have an opportunity to teach our elementary age students about the sacraments. And when we start talking about baptism, I always ask this question, and it just makes me smile because they look at me like I have four eyes, and I say to them, do you remember your baptism? Now, some of them haven't been baptized yet. Some of them were baptized as a tiny little baby. They have no memory of that at all. I do not remember my actual baptism. My parents told me I went out of the church screaming afterwards. They had to take me out. They remember it, I don't. But I ask those kids, I ask them every time, do you remember your baptism? I say every time someone here at Westview is baptized, whether it's a baby, a child, a youth, an adult, every time we are a part of a baptism, it's an opportunity for us to remember our own baptism. Because the same promises that God is making to that individual that day in that baptism, that it was for them Jesus Christ came into this world, for them he died, for them he rose again, and they are sealed in the waters of baptism by the Holy Spirit. They are marked as Christ's own child forever. Those promises are true for that person and for all of us all over again. And so in our baptism, in any baptism, we remember our baptism and we remember whose we are. That we belong to God. Friends, it is so important to remember. In this passage, Jesus assures those disciples, yes, I'm going, But the Holy Spirit is coming, and the Holy Spirit will remind us of everything Jesus has said. So what is that? One of the things we find in this passage is that the Holy Spirit will help us to remember the way of Jesus. Look at chapter 14, verse 26 again. A little earlier, just before that part that we've been focusing on, Jesus says that the Holy Spirit will be a teacher, teaching us all things, right? Teaching us all the things of Jesus. You know, teaching us how to live according to his teachings, how to be an agent of reconciliation, how to pursue justice and righteousness, how to be Jesus' hands and feet in this world, how to manifest the example he has given to us. The Spirit is going to teach us all things, to teach us the way of Jesus. In chapter 16, verse 13, it says, "The Spirit of truth, when he comes, he will guide you in all truth." And I love that image of a guide. Right? Have you ever had a guide lead you on maybe on a hike in a national forest or a national park or a state park or even in a museum or something like that? Have you ever had a guide? Right? Does the guide who is filled with all of this knowledge, does the guide sit in a classroom and say, "Here's what you're going to see, do this and this and this and this," and then shoves us out the door and says, "Good luck"? No, the guide walks along with the group. The guide knows the way to go. The guide knows what to look out for. The guide knows where to stop and say, "Here's where you're going to get your best picture." The guide knows the best pace to take, all so that you can have a most memorable hike. I love thinking about the Spirit as a guide, one who walks with us, one who knows the way, one who knows what to look out for, one who shows us how to best see things, the one who gives us the best pace. Right, if we look at this passage, there's all sorts of verses we could quote here this morning. In chapter 16, verse 13, again, Jesus says that the Spirit will not speak on his own. He will only speak what he hears. See, the Spirit of truth will teach us the way of Jesus because the Spirit receives the way of Jesus from Jesus himself. This, as a guide, the Holy Spirit knows which way we are to go. In chapter 16, verse 14 and verse 15, it says twice over that the Spirit takes what belongs to Jesus and makes it known to us. As a guide, the Holy Spirit helps us to move at the right pace. This is something I find so fascinating here. Jesus, in chapter 16, verse 12, if you want to flip there real quickly, you can. But in chapter 16, verse 12, Jesus tells those disciples, "I've got so many things that I want to tell you." I mean, Jesus is spending all this time in the upper room talking to his disciples. He spent 3 years with them, and he says to the disciples, "I've got all this other stuff that I want to share with you, more and more and more." But he says, "You know what? If I tell all of it to you right now, it's going to be more than you can bear, more than you can handle. It's going to be like drinking from a fire hydrant." But he says the Holy Spirit's going to come. He's going to lead you and guide you to show you the right way, to show you my teachings, and will give to you the right thing at the right time. I think that's important for us to recognize even today, friends, is that we today cannot claim that we know everything there is to know about Jesus. Learning about Jesus is a continued process of revelation. We continue to learn. Far be it from us to stand up and say, "I know everything there is about Jesus." Friends, that's foolish. And that's a very dangerous mindset to have. We are called by the Spirit's power to be lifelong learners, lifelong in discipleship, as we have a value here at Westview. And so this Holy Spirit teaches and guides us in the way of Jesus. Holy Spirit helps us to remember the way of Jesus. Another thing that we find in this passage is that the Holy Spirit helps us to remember our need for Jesus. Friends, again, may it be far from us to ever say, "I can do this on my own." Far be it from us to ever say, "I can take care of myself." Far be it from us to say, "I don't need anybody else." Friends, we need Jesus. Chapter 16, verse 8, Jesus says the Spirit's going to come, and the Spirit is going to convict the world of guilt in regards to sin and righteousness and judgment. And so through the Spirit's leading, through the Spirit's work, we are going to become aware of our wrongdoing. Through the Spirit's work, we're to become aware of the righteous standard of our holy God and how, you know what, we fall short of that. Through the Spirit's work, we're going to recognize that if we are in the courthouse and there's a verdict that's going to be delivered, it's going to be one and only one of conviction. The Spirit makes us aware of our sinfulness. That God has a standard that is set, and due to our sinfulness, due to the pervasiveness of sin, we fall short of the glory of God. And Christ will come to judge the living and the dead. Friends, we have a desperate need for Jesus. But the good news is that the Spirit tells us that the one who is the judge is the one who made atonement for our sin. In other words, the one who is the judge is the one who pays the price that our sins deserve. The one who is the judge is the one who gave his life so that the scales of justice that should always be tilted towards guilty, but instead we are pardoned, we are set free from our sin, and we no longer carry with us the sentence of death. And so the work of the Spirit is this. The Spirit reminds us of our guilt, but the Spirit also reminds us of our hope. The Spirit reminds us in chapter 14 where Jesus says, because I live, you too will also live. And so what the Spirit does is, yes, there is sin. Yes, there is guilt. Yes, there is shame. And the Spirit makes that aware in us to recognize this sinfulness. But the Spirit also points us to the work of Jesus, his life, his death, his resurrection, and that because Jesus lives, we too will live. The Spirit reminds us that we have a desperate need for Jesus. Another thing that we find in this passage, that the passage that Phyllis read for us, is that the Spirit helps us to remember the commands of Jesus. You know, as Phyllis was reading here, maybe you heard it once or twice or four times, actually, where Jesus says something like this. If you love me, you will obey my command. You can't miss it. It's in the very first words. Even if we kind of zone out sometimes during the scripture reading, you made it through the first verse, I trust. It's right there, verse chapter 14, verse 15. If you love me, you will obey my command. It says it again in verse 21. Whoever has my commands, whoever obeys them, they are the one who loves me. Says it again, very similar language in verse 23. And then also again, verse 24, sort of in the opposite way, saying the very same thing. If you love me, you will obey my command. I don't know if we want to call it this, but I think we maybe could. This is a very simple litmus test of what it means to be a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ. Very, very simply. Do we do what Jesus says to do? Do we do what Jesus says to do? How simple is that? That if we love Jesus, we will obey Jesus. If we love Jesus, we will do what Jesus commanded his followers to do. Or he put it this way, if we do what Jesus commanded to do, then we are showing our love for Jesus. So what is that? Well, it's things like loving your neighbor, or putting others first, or caring for the poor, the orphan, the widow. It's about valuing the sanctity of all life, the unborn, the born, and people of every demographic. It's preaching the good news of the life and death and resurrection of Jesus. It's making disciples of every nation. It's letting our yes be yes and our no be no. It's seeking reconciliation with those who have something against us. And we could go on and on for days. All the things that Jesus says, if we want to know, all we've got to do is read the Gospels. Everything that Jesus teaches. If you love me, you will obey my command. But I want to be very clear about this, friends. Doing such things is not a prerequisite for salvation. By that I mean that doing these things does not mean we're going to earn our salvation. Salvation is a free gift of God's love and God's grace. And it's because of this free gift of love and grace, because of the salvation found in Jesus Christ, it is our joy, it is our great gratitude. It's our life of thankfulness that we then go and do the things that Jesus commanded us to do because we receive the love of God and we share that love with one another. What the Holy Spirit does is helps remind us of these commands of Jesus. And then just one final thing here we'll look at this morning is that the Holy Spirit helps us remember the promise of Jesus. And I have to imagine for those disciples as they are sitting in that tense-filled moment here in the upper room, this is perhaps the one thing that they needed to hear the most. And maybe it's the thing that we need to hear the most as well this morning. Jesus keeps talking about how he's going to leave them soon. But he is promising that he's not going to leave them alone. Jesus names chapter 16, verse 7, if I go, I will send the Holy Spirit to you. The disciples are not going to be left as orphans. The Holy Spirit's going to come and the Holy Spirit is going to be with them forever. Now, a couple of times in the passage, the Holy Spirit is called the Counselor, or maybe in your Bibles it says Comforter. Same thing, that's all right. Comes from the same Greek word. The Greek word is Paraclete. We've talked about Paraclete a couple of times before, but let me just refresh our memories. A Paraclete is someone who comes alongside. Very literally, a Paraclete was used in was the name given to those who would come alongside someone who was running a long race. And as they come down that final, we'll say 100 meters or 200 meters or 400 meters or that, leaving that last mile, it depends on how long that race is, when that person is out of gas and tired and about ready to give in and can't quite get to the finish line, the Paraclete was the one who would come alongside and help run them into the finish line. This is what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit comes alongside. Comes alongside of us. Jesus says the Holy Spirit lives with you. And will be in you, we are not alone. And that promise grants to us the peace that Jesus talks about at the end of chapter 14. Peace that can calm those troubled hearts we talked about last week. Peace that alleviates those fears. This is such a great promise of Jesus. The Holy Spirit reminds us that we are not alone. So let me just circle back to that question we asked at the beginning. How's your memory? Right, if we're looking at this passage and we're identifying that one of the most important roles of the Holy Spirit is that the Holy Spirit is going to remind us of everything. Let me just ask you this morning, how's your memory? How's your memory? By that I mean this. How can the Holy Spirit best help you remember today? We believe that the Holy Spirit is present here with us this morning. But if the Holy Spirit was standing here, took bodily form, standing right here in front of me or right in front of you, and you could say to the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, my memory isn't so good right now, and so I need you to help me remember what? What would you say to the Holy Spirit this morning? That my memory's not so good. I need you to help me remember. What would it be? Would we say, Holy Spirit, this morning I need you to help me remember the way of Jesus. Help me remember the example that Jesus has set. Help me to remember the teachings that Jesus has given so that I can be one who emulates the ways of Jesus. Or we say, Holy Spirit, today I need you to best help me remember that I have a need for Jesus because I've been taking it on myself too much. I've been believing that I can do it on my own. I've been trying to earn my way. So I need the Holy Spirit to help. I need you to help me remember that I do have this sinful nature that does not allow me to earn my way to salvation. And I need to be reminded of the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus, that I have a need for him. Or we say this morning, Holy Spirit, I need your help to remind me of the commands of Jesus, that in this tough season that it's been, I've gotten a little internally focused. I've gotten a little too much caring about myself, and I've not been as much caring about my neighbor and caring about one another and looking outside of myself. So help me to remember to take the love that God has given to me and to share it with somebody else. Or would we say this morning, Holy Spirit, today I need you to help me remember the promise of Jesus that it has been a hard time. It's been a hard season. I feel lonely. I feel alone. I feel abandoned. I feel like those disciples. And I just need to be reminded this morning that you are always with me. Friends, how's your memory this morning? What would you like to say to the Holy Spirit today? Help me remember this. Please pray with me. Spirit of the living God, would you fall afresh upon us? That we as people who desire to know Jesus and love Jesus and live like Jesus and to find our rest in Jesus, that Spirit, you would indeed help us to remember. To remember who Jesus is and what Jesus has done and how that completely defines who we are. Not anything else of this world. Not anything that we so quickly strive after. But it is in Jesus that we find our identity. In Jesus we find our hope. In Jesus we find our peace. In Jesus we find our rest. Holy Spirit, we are so grateful that you are indeed here with us this day. Just as you came to be with those disciples so many years before, and throughout the generations, throughout the centuries, you have been continually reminding the people of God the will and the way of Jesus. Lord, I pray for each person that is here in this place today, that is watching online right now, that is maybe going to watch online later today or this week. And whatever that need is, wherever our memory might be a little faulty, wherever we have maybe grown a little forgetful, and we could use a Holy Spirit hack to help us to remember, Holy Spirit, we would ask that you would pour out in your grace to us all that we need to know, all that we need to be reminded of, all that we need to have in order that we can remember Jesus, and that we can remember who we are, who we are called to be, who we can be, but already right now, who we are. Holy Spirit, we are grateful that as we prayed earlier, you have been present in these few moments that we studied your holy word. And we are grateful, Holy Spirit, that you will continue, as Jesus promised, you will be with us forever. You'll be with us as we leave this place. You'll be with us tomorrow as we go to school and we go to work and we live in our communities. And you'll be with us every day. Continue to remind us, prick our hearts, stir our spirits, upset our tummies, even if you must, that we might always be remembering our Lord and Savior Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for who you are to us. Thank you for coming, and thank you for reminding us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for joining us for the Westview Church podcast. We hope that you are blessed as we studied Scripture together today. We'd love to invite you to our worship service at Westview Church, which takes place at 9:30 on Sunday mornings. May God richly bless your day.